B-Pod Studios.
Ilya Markopoulos has been a pro wrestler since the age of 13. He was trained by a number of outstanding wrestlers, including, but not limited to, Al Snow, Killer Kowalski, Brian Malonis, Brian Fury, and he is part of Chaotic Wrestling and the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. You can find Ilya on Twitter. It's at Ilya Markopoulos, ElIamArkopoulos. Hi, Ilya. How are you?
What's going on, Jay Stu?
I'm glad I got your name in one take. The last time we did this, I did not get your name.
I
fumbled around with it.
Now. You're not working the audience. That was all on the fly right there. Boom.
Yeah, well, I took notes and I practiced because, you know, I knew this was going to happen and I wanted to make sure that not only I pronounced Markopoulos properly, but I also got the proper spelling of it because I can barely spell my last name. I can barely spell my first name, and everybody screws up my first name anyway. It's James, not Jimmy, but, you know, Jimmy Stewart sells tickets. James doesn't, you know?
That is true, and I think Jay Stu's a better name, and I've always thought about it, too, for my last name. I should change it up a little bit to, you know, make it more easier to spell, but, yeah.
Would your name be E-Mark? Because that seems like a perfect wrestling name.
Yeah, E-Mark. I always say I put the word Mark in Markopoulos, so you might as well just call me the Mark.
Maybe you can be the SmackDown hacker. You can be E-Mark the hacker.
Yeah, right.
So, Ilya, you're an independent wrestler who has a regular job and a regular life. Yeah. So what has life been like? Somewhat, right? So what has life been like for you since the lockdown?
So as far as personally, the only thing that really affects me is my wife hasn't been working, but at least she gets to stay home with the dog. My dog's name is Brady, by the way, so I think I might have to change the name. I don't know.
So you're going to be one of these people who roots for Brady in Tampa over the Patriots?
You know, it's funny. My wife asked me if I'm going to watch every game, and I'm going to try, but I don't think I'm going to because if there's a lot of Sunday night games, I think I'm going to be sleeping, especially if the Pats are on at one.
I'll give you my NFL Game Pass password if you want to watch the Tampa games on delay.
Oh, yeah, right. You know what? Honestly, I feel like I might watch one or two to start the season, and then after I'm just going to be like, you know what? I'm bored with this, you know? But I'll always root for the Patriots. I grew up here, you know what I mean? And I've seen them win 6 championships. You know, but what am I going to do in 2 years when Tom Brady retires, you know, come crawling back?
Well, probably. Yeah,
that's what we're going to do.
We'll see what happens when we'll see what happens going forward. I think Hoyer's going to start the year and we'll see where they're at with Stidham. And it could be that Stidham takes over week 8 and, you know, away we go. Or it could be that Hoyer's your starter all year and they go 4-12.
Like, yeah. I don't know about I think they can go 9-7 with Hoyer and Stidham together. And I think you're right because I think Bill's purposely going to set up a competition to, you know, let Stidham take the job, and let's see what the kid can do, you know, at this point. What else are we gonna do?
No, I don't want Cam Newton, but
there's no point.
My belief is that Hoyer outplayed Stidham last preseason, and the reason why they cut Hoyer was because they couldn't put Stidham on the practice squad. Because Brady didn't want to work Wednesdays, they had to sign Cody Kessler. So I think if they knew that, they being the Patriots, pronouns pal, if they knew that Brady was going to take Wednesdays off, they wouldn't have cut Hoyer. They would have just carried 3 quarterbacks or found a way to get Stidham on the practice squad, but I think there were teams interested in Stidham.
So if I were you and I was producing this right now, I'd have to do the iPhone noise jingle.
The text alert?
Yeah, the text alert. Like when Maz talks, you know.
You know what I'll do is I will text you something that proves validity of my information.
Oh, I always love the little Jay Stu tidbits that I get once in a while.
Because I show it to Murray and I show it to Maz, and sometimes I show it to Felger. It depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
Well, when you hit something like the Josh McDaniels thing, I say to myself, son of a gun. Jay Stu, like he was, and you were right about that almost a year ago, more than a year ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's fortunate that I become friendly with the, for some reason, Ilya, people like me, and I don't know why.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't know why either. I'm a very hateable person. I'm arrogant and I'm hateable and all this other stuff, but yet people give me information. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
So life for you with lockdown,
you know, it's, I've still been working. I sell restaurant equipment on, online on eBay. And, you know, it's, our part of the country has been affected with restaurants and stuff like that, but a lot of, Midwest and, more southern states, you know, it seems to be like their restaurants have been busy. So my customers have still been up. My sales have been up. So I'm very fortunate to be able to still be working and, you know, paying my bills.
It slowed down your trips to Disney, though. You're a big Disney guy.
You know what? It's funny. So we just did the, it's not funny, actually. We
ironic up, funny instead of haha funny.
Yeah, exactly. We signed up for DVC in November. And we went to Greece for New Year's. So our plan was to go to Disney in April, and then again for the 4th of July. And we're gonna go on. We were gonna go on a cruise too, at the same, you know, with that. And obviously that didn't happen. So what's the silver lining with the whole Disney thing is we have annual passes. So they were set to expire June 28th, and since they've been closed 2 months. They're going to extend those now till August 28th.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's nice. And we're going in July and then for 2 days in August because we're going to do the cruise in August now. So it kind of works out where we won't have to upgrade our passes again till I think probably the end of August, beginning of September.
Oh, that's good. That's good that Disney's doing that. I mean, their Disney Plus subscriptions are way up, even though their tourist money is down. But, you know, all that stuff is going to balance out.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think everything's going to balance out, and all it takes is one big movie release for them to get their money back.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly. They're Disney. We're not holding bake sales for Disney. Don't worry about
that. Although I will if they need me to.
You know what? I probably would too, actually. Because
I'll be on the front lines.
You know, I've gotten great years out of Disney content. I'll be continuing to get great years out of Disney content.
You know, it's funny, Jay Stu. I think a lot of people are realizing more and more, whether it's Star Wars, Marvel, or Disney movies they grew up on, that like, especially during times like this, like Disney's kind of, you know, been with them their whole lives, you know?
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Probably at the very least, I see one Disney movie a year that's new. Not including those previous movies that I watch on Disney Plus. Right. So there's that. Well, you wrestle for Chaotic Wrestling. Their big event annually is Cold Fury. You're on the 19th edition of Cold Fury, which this year is going to be at Game Time Sports and Fitness, which is located at 1703 Middlesex Street in Lowell. ChaoticWrestling.com for tickets, information, date to be announced. Do you know anything about, like, I mean, we're all at the mercy of being in a lockdown state, but do you know any, like, anticipation, any time frame? Are we all just kind of guessing? But at least you have a location and a venue for when you get there.
So what I will say is, you know, and this is coming straight from the owners of Chaotic, we are still 100% going to do Cold Fury, whether it's going to be in June or July. And as of now, we want to do it with the fans. And I know that there have been discussions about, you know, between the wrestlers about if we have to do a no fan Cold Fury, we will. And not even doing Cold Fury, if we have to do a event where we are doing no fan, you know, a no fan indie event,
right?
Something a lot of the guys are actually interested in doing. Obviously, a lot of us would have to get our own testing done, which is a whole nother issue,
right?
But as far as Cold Fury goes, I believe the original date was...
It would have been like April 10th.
I think it was... I know, you know what, Jimmy? April 10th would have been a show in Woburn or Lawrence.
Oh, no, it was Boston. That was the Boston show. So, that was the Friday night Boston show I was going to go to.
That it would have been...
So it would have been sometime in March.
It would have been 2 weeks before that or 3 weeks before that date.
Because didn't you guys have a show like March 13th in Lawrence or something?
Yeah, so it was, yes. So the last show was March. Okay, so let's set it up here. So March 13th, I believe it was, let's say, hopefully that was a Friday. Not sure. Tuesday. But that was our last show. And that was before pretty much the, you know, the S hit the fan. I remember I did a show that Thursday for New England All-Star Wrestling at Pins. And a lot of us, you know, we weren't all, no one was really nervous at the time about the corona, but we could tell that the draw wasn't good and the fans were going to start to, you know, really, you know, be worried about it. So then the next day was the Chaotic show. And it was kind of a weird, like, dude, I've been doing this now 12, almost 13 years. And that was one of the more weird shows I've ever been involved in, only because a lot of us had no idea. It's kind of almost like the last Nitro. You know what I mean? Nobody knew what, like, when we'd see each other again, if there was going to be another show, you know, in the spring, which, I mean, we're almost to June now. And I know.
I
haven't wrestled in 2 months. And it's crazy to think, like, time's flown by, but it's also been very slow in a weird way to say that, you know? But so that show, we were all under the impression, okay, we're going into lockdown. I think at that time it was 2 weeks.
Yeah, because I think we hit lockdown like the 17th. So and the hope was
it was that Monday or Tuesday we're going into lockdown.
And I think the hope was April 3rd. I think Trump was saying Easter.
Right.
Because the peak was going to be the end of March, early April. And then the hope was Easter, we were going to be out of this thing. And now it's May 12th as we're recording this.
And April 10th was so it was going to be Cold Fury. And then April 10th was the Cold Fury post show, you know, the 2 week.
Which was in Boston, right? Because I remember it was
Cold Fury originally.
Okay.
So that's now I actually forgot about that. Cold Fury was going to be at a school in Chelsea. It was Excel Academy, I believe it's called. And they canceled it in like February. And that's when I think a lot of us were kind of like, you know, thinking crap, you know, like this is going to be kind of, you know, that we're going to be out of work for a while, probably, you know, wrestling wise. And then, so April 10th was going to be the Cold Fury follow-up show. And that was actually going to be the plan to have Cold Fury after. And then the lockdown got extended 2 more weeks.
Right.
And then it got extended 2 more weeks. And now we're at the point where we might not be in lockdown anymore, but there's not going to be public assemblies. And I don't know if it's going to become a state thing or a city thing and how it's going to work. But I know like OVW, did you see what they're thinking about moving?
Out of Ohio?
Yeah, out of Kentucky to Ohio.
Yeah.
To Ohio or Indiana because they're allowed to have public assemblies, and Kentucky said they're banning them for the rest of the year, I think it was. So it's funny.
Yeah, if you're going to look at like what Marty Walsh has done, Marty Walsh canceled the summer essentially.
Well, yeah, it blows my mind, and I tell a lot of like people that I do business with in other parts of the country. A lot of people don't get economy wise how much sports affect our city, because if you think about it, we got the Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox, all the concerts every day in the summertime. There's something going on in Boston that brings 20,000+ people into the city some way, you know, and to cancel all of that. Those bars around the garden, they're not busy during, you know, regular day. You know, they're not busy during, you know, with just townies unless there's a game going on. So I think it's kind of, I don't know. I think Felger had said it like a month ago, you know, don't be so extreme on both ends, you know, just find a happy medium, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the problem too, is Marty canceled the summer essentially, but then he backed off and it was like, well, Fenway and the Garden, they might be able to run some stuff. Like I know I talked to somebody who works in AEW about their August 5th show, which was postponed from April 15th. And they're like, well, we haven't been told that we're canceled, but we have backup dates. So
they're already, that would be, you know, they're planning to go somewhere else anyway now.
Right. And that's what they have to be. They have to be a step ahead of it. Like, I don't think SummerSlam is going to be in Boston. I think they're going to push it back a year and hope, right? I think Gronk was going to have his match. Somebody really smart texted me this, and it was a brilliant idea, is move SummerSlam to Tampa, and you put Rob Gronkowski in his one and only match, and Tom Brady's at ringside.
Yeah.
You know, there were some really smart people in this world, Ilya, and they're smart on wrestling booking, and yeah, just brilliant minds.
Could you picture it though? So, you know, you're in Tampa.
Because Gronk and Brady would get booed in Boston.
I think they would. I think Gronk would. Because let's face it, they pulled a Kyrie, you know, and Kevin Durant.
Oh, totally. Totally.
They really did.
Because I mean Brady threw the season. He threw the season, and
oh yeah.
Gronk didn't want to play for Bill and Josh and all that, and it's a pig orgy, but I digress, but the person, Ilya, who thought of that idea of SummerSlam in Tampa with Gronk and Brady, brilliant man. Just a brilliant, brilliant man.
He's like a modern Jim Cornette.
Yeah, he's probably Greek or something. I don't know.
I've been watching with my buddies on the over like the Zooms with the Dark Sides. We've been watching the Dark Sides together. And they love
Jim Cornette. Yeah, the Road Warrior was one is next.
Yeah, I love the Road Warriors. I mean, what do they have that's like dark to talk about? Is there a lot of dark stuff?
Probably Hawk. Probably Hawk and his substance abuse.
He was an alcoholic, right? Bad.
Yeah, they probably have some intel on Draws because Hawk and Draws probably didn't like each other. Animal has a bouncer history.
Animal seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, he seems that way. I've seen him at different WrestleCons, and he's very personal and social with the. And he brings the spikes. Like, if you're a fan of the spikes, like.
I think it's cool his son played for the Rams, too, for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And his brother, Johnny Ace.
I think he was in Bill's camp, Belichick's camp, but he didn't make it out towards the end of his career.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It's like little known. There are all these players who are kind of at the end of their career who end up in a Belichick camp and they don't make it. Like I think Mike Flynn, who does weekends for the Sports Hub, did weekends. He's still on the staff, but we've kind of minimized our programming. But he was under Bill for a little bit. So I think Laurinaitis was there too.
Yeah, just like they bring him in and they just don't end up. They don't
because they don't want to deal with Bill.
Yeah. They take their 20 grand for the 4 weeks of summer camp.
Yeah. So you mentioned Chaotic potentially doing empty arena matches. Have you watched any of the empty arena matches or the cinematic matches that WWE has been doing and AEW has been doing?
I haven't watched. I didn't watch the Money in the Bank one, but I want to see it now. I just haven't had the time to see it. But I obviously saw WrestleMania and I was a big fan of the Undertaker match, but I was a bigger fan of the John Cena match.
They were both great.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, listen, it was different, you know? And it's funny because the way the production was for the Undertaker one, that was the guy who produced it. His name's Jimmy Long. He produced a lot of our OVW skits when he was a wrestler. His name was Paradise. And he was our producer, too, at OVW. So, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, the way this style is, like, I've seen this style before. In a way, it wasn't like, I don't want to make fun of it by saying this, because it, in a good way. It was campy, but in a, like, a good way campy, believe it or not. Like, when the Druids are going to beat up the Undertaker, you know what I mean? And I forget what he said, and, like, that stuff. And just the style of the way it was cut and shot, it was familiar. And then I did some research, and it was Jimmy who did it. And if you look at, like, there's, like, backstage photos of it being done, Jimmy's one of the guys standing in the photo with The Undertaker and AJ Styles.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that match. I don't know if it was The Undertaker's choice, but I wish he did not use a Metallica song. I wish he came out to the Kid Rock song or Limp Bizkit, just because, like, So, as weird as it sounds, like being nostalgic in wrestling, I feel like WWE is afraid to be nostalgic sometimes. And in this day and age, you shouldn't be, you know, because like with social media, like being nostalgic hits people better, you know?
So look at the mortgage guy from Alabama and look at how much money he's made doing nostalgia. Look at what Conrad Thompson has done as a wrestling fan doing podcasts about nostalgia wrestling.
Yeah, it's true. Like, it's really true.
I mean, Fox, FS1 is airing WrestleMania 3.
In WrestleMania 3, some of the matches aren't that good, but some, you know what I mean? But, like, the whole shit, the spectacular of WrestleMania 3 is amazing.
It's the spectacle. Know? It's the spectacle.
And it holds up. It holds up to today. You know what I mean? Just seeing it and, like, I watch a lot of, like, Raws from when I was a kid just because I have so much downtime when I get home from work now. That it's funny to see the crowds and the way people reacted back then.
Well,
you know,
it
didn't know anything, you know.
So fans weren't smart, quote unquote, because there was no internet, and
it was harder to be a smart fan.
Right. The only people who had Meltzer's newsletter were the super hardcores or the wrestlers and the office people. Right. Like, I've talked to Sean Grandy. Sean Grandy was like a Dave Meltzer newsletter guy from like day one.
My uncle, so my dad's brother, he always used to tell me, like, you know, spoilers and backstage news when I was a kid. And this is before like the internet really took off. And I always wondered, like, how did you know? And it turns out now, looking back, that's what he had. He had the Meltzer newsletter.
And so, like, I was a PWI magazine guy, the Aftermags, I think, as they're called. And that's how I kind of was like, Undertaker and Paul Bearer splitting? Like, what? What do you mean? And I didn't really, the first time I remember like digging in on the internet for wrestling was the Sunny AOL stuff. And after Montreal, after the Survivor Series in 97, I went online and I went to one of these wrestling chat rooms and it's like, oh, Bret Hart's leaving for WCW. It's like, what? Like, what?
But that's how it was back then. It was, you know, chat rooms or a board, you know, what we call like a
message boards.
Yeah. And nowadays that's like basically Twitter. You know what I mean?
Right. And that was Eric Bischoff was on Prodigy. He would have Prodigy chats when he was running WCW. But I didn't know. I didn't know what that was. I had America Online and 10,000 free minutes and a dial up phone connection.
Minutes. That's right. I remember that.
And then everything was high speed. It's so fascinating how like the internet and wrestling has evolved and how different it was. You know, WrestleMania 3, my mom and dad took me to Walter Brown Arena by BU. And I would have been 7 years old, 6, 7 years old, because they didn't have a babysitter. So they brought me to the wrestling show because my parents, they used to go to the old Boston Garden on dates, and you know, that was part of their upbringing. And on my mom's side, my late aunt was a wrestling fan, and my grandmother and grandfather, who have passed away, were wrestling fans. You know, my grandfather was in World War II and wrestling fan. So I'm third generation, and you know, if all goes to plan, it'll be a fourth generation fan too, except on the female side of things. Which
my grandfather, so I used to watch Nitros when I was a kid because my grandfather from Greece would come and he watched boxing on HBO, and he used to love WCW only because Ric Flair. You know, he loved Ric Flair. And he obviously, you know, he was just an old Greek guy, so he didn't know the difference between WWF or WCW. But I remember watching, like, I don't remember what it was. It was something to do with Stone Cold and WWF. You know, he was beating up McMahon, and I said to myself, I was probably like 5 or 6, and I was like, this is awesome. You know, this is so much better than WCW. And from that point forward, I was just like hooked on WWF. Hooked, you know.
Well, it's because WWF had to do long-term stories.
You're right.
They had to reevaluate everything.
WWF, I mean, if you go back and watch, like, Nitro after 98, Nitro sucked, you know. You couldn't even watch it, you know. And there were some episodes of Raw pre-97, the same thing. You couldn't even watch them, you know.
But it's also WCW had this one story, right? It was Hogan's now a bad guy. What is Sting going to do? And then you built from there. And then the payoff was Sting showing up, not tanned, losing to Hulk. And then Bret Hart has to come in and have Sting beat Hulk. And now the title's vacant. And now you're doing the rematch and business is great. And oh, by the way, you've got Goldberg on the other side. And then you do Goldberg Hogan. And now, and then you fast forward and you've beaten Goldberg with Kevin Nash. And that was the end.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the other side, WWF is blossoming guys like The Rock, you know.
And the number one bad guy in the history of wrestling, Vince McMahon.
And that's the thing. It's funny to look back and think, like, Vince is probably the greatest wrestling character ever. He probably really is. And it's just, he's so genius, everything he does.
The irony is Vince is probably the best wrestling heel of all time.
I would assume.
Both on camera and off camera. And then you've got Hogan, who was the number one good guy who most of us grew up with, and then he's the number one bad guy, and he drew on both sides.
Right.
And that's why Hulk Hogan is probably the greatest pro wrestler sports entertainer of all time. Or at least that's the case for it, is that he drew big dollars on both sides, on the good guy side and the bad guy side.
He drew big dollars, and then he was responsible for, I mean, in two different ways. He was responsible for the WWF in the 80s becoming what it was, and then in the late 90s and early 2000s because of what he did with WCW.
Yep.
He forced WWF to become, you know, a major player again. But it's funny, as WCW was declining, you know, WWF was slowly rising. You know, they were taught, you know, the bad wrestlers were, you know, weeding out. And then there was a point, like, if you watch Raw in 2000 or, like, the end of 99, every person on the roster is, like, an 8 out of 10 wrestler or above.
You know? I believe that.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. And then once, like, the mid-2000s, it's insane. You go Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, those guys are the mid-card, you know? So, and I don't think wrestling's really changed. I just think that people have changed, you know?
Well, so people have changed, and you've got 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Wednesday, 2 hours on Friday. And part of the reason why I think AEW has had so much success, positive buzz, is because they're 2 hours on Wednesday.
It's almost like football.
And then if you want to go to YouTube and watch their YouTube show, you can. It's an hour, but if you miss that, you don't miss anything on Wednesday. Like the Tuesday show is just kind of an extra, and eventually they'll get on TNT because I think their deal has, they get an hour slot on TNT another night. So that YouTube show will just go to TNT, but it's not like you miss anything. It's essentially like Superstars or Wrestling Challenge or you know, whatever, except the difference is that they have Kenny Omega will work a match or Cody will work a match. It's not just the throwaway people who they kind of want to build, but they kind of don't want to build. It's like, you know, one of the better matches was Kenny Omega against, you know what? It was so good. I don't remember his opponent, but they went 30 minutes at BU in a no holds barred match or an unsanctioned match, lights out match. And it was great. It was awesome.
And I think that's, you know, the aspect of it's hard to follow it now is big, because if you look back, you only had Raw. The formula that the WWF had, Raw, SmackDown, and then a monthly pay-per-view. It was easy to follow, and it was like watching a soap opera. And then it would lead to the three big pay-per-views every year, you know?
Yep.
And then, or four, you know, depending on how, if you want to count another one.
So, I mean, we'll talk after you watch Money in the Bank, because I want your take on, like, how they filmed it, because hopefully without ruining for you, like when Riley and I did the post show recap, I was just trying to look for positives in it and clues that might lead to something else.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a part in the match where Otis throws food in Paul Heyman's face. And I'm like, oh, well, that'll lead to Otis versus Brock. And Otis wins the briefcase. And I'm like, oh, well, Brock will beat Otis for the briefcase. And now we're back to Brock Lesnar in the title picture, just as a scenario.
Right.
But overall, like, they, WWE didn't take Money in the Bank as seriously as we fans have been conditioned to, because like, there's actual stakes in this match. Like, whoever wins these cases is going to be a world champion. Like, they're going to win. And, you know, Becky announces she's pregnant and they hand the title to Asuka, which felt like it was a cool, like, real life moment where Asuka's like, wait, you're going to be a mom? That's great. And you know, Asuka's celebration, so over the top of her being handed the women's title, is great. Cause Asuka, and you probably know this from talking to people, I've talked to people, that whole locker room loves Asuka, respects Asuka. And I think when Becky says she's the best wrestler in the world is a little strong, but I think that there are a lot of people who believe that when Asuka's in her peak, like, she's one of the best in the world. She's definitely like a top striker.
Right.
So I'll be interested to, you know, we'll talk about this, what you thought of it at some point. Back to Chaotic here, as we kind of close things down here. Is there somebody to watch in Chaotic? Is there somebody that I need to hate in Chaotic Wrestling?
I'll give you three people. How about that?
Oh, love it.
All right. First, I think that I think the next big thing to come out of New England is going to be Josh Briggs.
Yep.
He's going.
Now he's the former UMass football player.
Yeah, he is actually. And if you ever saw a picture of him in college, you wouldn't believe it, because I think he was an offensive tackle. But he's going up for the title at Cool Fury with against Christian Casanova, who is the champ.
Oh, I love Christian Casanova. He's a good egg.
So Christian's a champ.
All about culture.
Yeah. Mike Taverna is going to be – it's Mike Taverna, Christian, Josh, and all good Anthony Green. It's a fatal four-way. So they're going up for the title at Cold Fury, and I think Josh is going to be the next big – I mean, he's already – he's arrived at Chaotic. He's arrived in New England. He's an Evolve. Is he the Evolve champ? I think he might be the Evolve champ.
He might be, because didn't he get it off of Austin?
I feel really bad not knowing if he is or not, but I believe he is. I think he beat Austin Theory. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him signed within a year. Number two is Christian. Not just saying that because he's my best friend, but I really think that this is, you know, after the summer, I think this is his year, whether it's Cold Fury or Impact.
He's fabulous.
He's great, and he fits.
So you should tell the story about how Christian and I connected.
Oh, at NEW?
At a Northeast wrestling show in Bethany, Connecticut.
All I remember is I get a text, and it's a picture of you like laughing, right? And in the crowd, wasn't he telling you to smile to take a picture for me?
Okay, so I'm at the Northeast wrestling show, and Christian has a match, and I'm like, oh, I know him from Chaotic. Like, I've seen him in Chaotic. Like, he's really good. And he loses, right? And I'm like, I couldn't tell you who he lost to, but I remember being like, he lost to this guy. Maybe it was JT Dunn.
Maybe, yeah.
Who I don't like. I've never liked, but
he's a good heel. That's why.
Probably. Although I've heard some stories about him, which we'll talk about another time. But he loses, and I'm like, well, that sucks. So they do. So Taven comes out, because Taven works behind the scenes at Northeast Wrestling. And he comes out, and he's like, oh, we're going to do this whole TV title, this YouTube special. It's going to be all over our social media, and it's only going to be defended in the Bethany, Connecticut Town Hall. And the promoter is Mike Lombardi. And so they say Mike Lombardi's name.
He doesn't like me.
And so I boo, right? And I know Mike. I've known Mike for a long time.
Mike doesn't like
Michael. I've known Michael. He likes to go by Michael.
You know, he goes by Paul. He used to go by Paul too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had two names. He doesn't like me, and I'll tell you real quick. Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
So, Christian said like a couple weeks ago he was going to do a live NEW chat. And I told him, as a joke, I wrote where on Facebook, I wrote, "Where the chaotic title," to make Lombardi mad. And Lombardi, I guess, like messaged him like, "Evan's a prick. Don't do that." Like, he was really worried. And Christian was like, "Dude, like, that's why he wrote that, because like the way you're reacting, like, he's just joking." Like, I was ribbing him, you know?
Yeah, he's very serious. I like him. I've gotten along with him. He's been super. He's been super nice. So they announce him, right? And boo, because you always boo the promoter, right? Because they don't have your. So I look to my left, and Christian is sitting probably about 10, you know, 6-8 feet away, and he's just laughing, man. And I think that's when he sent you the picture of me in the crowd. Like, we made eye contact, and we did the whole like, "Hey, I got your back. Like, I like you. I know who you are," type of thing. And then so when I went to the Chaotic show back in February, you were nice enough to introduce me, because Christian and we started following each other on social media and started messaging, and super cool dude and super talented wrestler. And you know, I'm surprised that, you know, before all this, like back in February, I was surprised that like a Ring of Honor didn't pick him up, or you know, somebody more Impact, even somebody wouldn't have picked him up. But
this time will come.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I'm happy that he's a local. He's local, and he's a Celtics fan, right? He's a Celtics green teamer. Or?
I think he's a pink hat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. He's a. I think he was more of a football fan. He played football in high school. He went to Framingham High.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's a local kid, like you said, you know. Like I mentioned, Josh, it doesn't, like, it matters, but Josh grew up in Arizona, believe it or not. And he's actually been out here since, I mean, Josh is young. Josh is maybe 26, 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's really young. So it's funny to think, like, wrestling young is, I think wrestling young now is like 25, 26, whereas opposed to football young is 20 years old. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So yeah.
So
Christian, I think he's the NEW. I don't know if
he's there. He's their social media TV champ.
So he's like the mid tier champ too. Okay. So that's good. I mean, I've won a tag title with him at Lucky Pro. We tagged that show before Chaotic. We tagged as we're called the Heat, because we get heat.
That's the job, right? You're a villain. You're supposed to get heat.
I love tagging with him, you know, because he can do all the cool stuff.
So this is my problem, right? And I know wrestlers have given me crap for this. Is like, if I like you, if I generally like you, I cheer you, right? And that's not necessarily like, you know, the 7-year-old kid is supposed to boo, game, right? You know. So like at that Chaotic show that we went to, like, you came out and I took a picture with you all miserable.
That wasn't me.
Oh, wait, that wasn't you.
That's going to be my third person I want to talk about. If you don't mind, can I mention the third person now?
This is called a transition.
Yeah. We'll wrap it all up by mentioning the third. So there's a, I think it was July, believe it or not, a new wrestler debuted in Chaotic, and it kind of looked familiar. I'm not a big fan of his, but I do believe that he can reach. I mean, you know, this is where he's at, and the sky's the limit for this guy. And his name is Evan Wallbridge.
Okay.
Yeah, and many people think he looks a lot like me, and I mean, we both have black hair and a beard, but that's all I see. He wears glasses and a tie. I don't wear a tie. And he wears a dress shirt. I don't wear a dress shirt. I got an NWO shirt. So it's funny. I haven't wrestled at Chaotic in almost a year. I'm more of a backstage, remember when Shawn Michaels was after the commissioner, he was like the spokesperson. He was like the ambassador. Yeah, that's basically me. I'm like Gorilla Monsoon, you know? So I do like some backstage help and stuff. So I've seen this guy Wallbridge. And I got to tell you something, Jay Stu. There's something there with this guy.
Oh, yeah?
That's the guy you took a picture with, too.
Okay. So,
and all he's right. My third guy I choose. He's going to be at Cold Fury. He's actually in a scramble match. And it's him, Ricky Archer, who's a newcomer. You know Scotty Slade. Scotty yep. Slade's in it.
I always think he hates me.
Who's Scotty Slade? He hates yeah.
Okay. Okay.
He even hated Sherman, and Sherman was his tag partner.
Well, so this is probably where I got that vibe from.
Okay. I know you and Sherman are buddies, right? Actually, look at I got a picture of Sherman right here.
Hey, it's the only sure thing in wrestling.
Now look at this too. Look at this real quick.
Did he autograph it for you?
No, that's a Chris Jericho WWF card.
Oh wow.
But anyway, Wallbridge. I think that he could be a future New England champion. He tags with Tyler Cintron and Chaotic, who's a newcomer from.
You know what? So that was a match, and it looked like it was kind of a funky finish there for like some elimination match I saw, where you know somebody was missing a briefcase or something, and they had to work around it or something.
Oh, you know what? Yes, I believe I remember. The ring girl had stolen Wallbridge's briefcase that night. And if I know Wallbridge, which I don't really, but I do see him from time to time, he was very clear, and his tag partner, Tyler Cintron, was very clear with the ring girl that the briefcase is needed for a spot. Not just any spot, mind you. It is needed
Arn spot.
It's needed for the finish. Now, there's a lot of important aspects to a wrestling match, Jimmy, but the most important is the finish, believe it or not. Now, listen, Wallbridge doesn't get mad, and the guys just had a laugh about it. You know, they're just like...
Oh, I remember this Wallbridge kid was hot, and it wasn't... like, red hot.
Now he makes sure that when he goes out there, that the briefcase is in his sight at all times because of that. You know,
that's probably a smart move. So Ilya, anything before we close out here? Anything you need to plug? Anything you want to put over? Anything?
No, I just want to say that to all the fans that are watching and all the wrestlers, like there's hope in this. You know, I know it might not seem like it, but hopefully within a month, whether it's a month, 2 months, that, you know, there's going to be a show, whether we have fans live or we have to have them, you know, watch like this. I want to, Wallbridge wants to, you know, Chaotic wants to, not just Chaotic, all the guys that I know that I wrestle with, we all want to do something. Because I mean, as much as this is our, you know, jobs too, it's our lives. You know, I don't think I've ever gone 2 months not wrestling, to be honest with you.
I don't know that I've gone 2 months without going to a show.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, I think that, and we had to talk about this over text. I think as soon as, like, public assemblies are allowed, I think wrestling is going to be one of the few things that actually have a full capacity crowd. Because, like, if there's one thing I know about wrestling fans is that they freaking love wrestling, you know, and they love it live too.
Oh yeah. One of my favorite things is going to shows and sitting as close as I can and, you know, being involved. And this is a 39-year-old balding overweight man, you know, and that's, you know, cause it's just, it's in a, you know, as a fan who is fortunate enough to be friendly with people who work within the wrestling world, like I go to the shows and I want to have fun at the shows and I want to kind of disconnect from what's going on in the real world. And that's that for me is my escape. That's why I'm such a sports fan. And, you know, I'm passionate about the Celtics and the Red Sox and, you know, the Bruins when they're nice to me and, you know, the Red Sox, you know, when they're interesting.
And I think that's the key. It's an escape for not just you, but us, you know, and Scott Hall said it. I think it might've been like his Hall of Fame induction or something, like a video package that natural high adrenaline rush when you go through the curtain, like, where can I get another cup of that? You know? And that's what a lot of us wrestlers feel, you know? So as much as you need it, we need it, you know,
yeah.
I think it's that's why wrestling's so great in a way, you know.
Yeah, it's just you. It and I think what people don't necessarily always understand is wrestling and wrestlers and wrestling characters are no different than Jack Bauer or Kerry Matheson or characters from TV shows that you watch. You emotionally invest in them. The difference is that with pro wrestling and with sports is you can actually go and see them live and cheer for them. Right. And maybe they don't always hear you individually, but they hear you as a collective. And that's something that Kiefer Sutherland doesn't get, for an example. And, you know, all these other actors, they their adrenaline rushes when their direct deposit goes in every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Or, you know, the upfront, but they don't, or if they do meet and greets at fan conventions, which, you know, those are going to be different now. You know, those were some of the cooler things is going to the fan connections and having a personal experience with the wrestler or whatever. And now that's going to be, you know, 6 feet, gloves. You know, Sasha Banks was one of the last WWE stars to do a meet and greet, and she's got blue gloves on, you know, signing pictures and taking, you know, distant photos because, you know, at the time of the signing, you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Like, I know the WrestleMania Access was going to have very strict guidelines as far as, like, you know, how close you were to a wrestler, like no hugging, no touching, none of this stuff. So, you know, the awkward Becky Lynch photo that's circulating, you know, from the guy with the arms around, like it's prom, like those photos aren't going to be happening anytime soon. It's the same guy, and he's got all the, he's got Alexa Bliss and Becky and all of them. And it's like,
believe it or not, it's not Mike Sarge Riley. I love Sarge. No, I'm just joking.
No, I know there are a lot of people who love him. I don't know that I'm one of them. I love Hammer.
Dr. Rich was playing his rock songs yesterday, and I was dying laughing. Oh my god,
they're funny. They're so funny. And they don't mean any harm by them. They're just trying to entertain people. I think some people think that they're.
Well, your Leather Dojo one. I didn't know you did that your first like month at the Sports Hub.
Oh, so do you want to hear the backstory on that one?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not there. I'm maybe there 2 weeks, right? And so I don't know how all the equipment works. I don't know, like, I go into the studio to record a Naughty Maz, right? And I'm like, oh, well, I'll leave it here. And, you know, I assume everything works. So, like, I go into the studio and I don't have headphones on. And I just, the level looks good. And I record Maz doing Naughty Maz. And I say, I send Rich an email and I'm like, hey, the audio's here. You know, go for it. And I don't go back and listen to it or anything like that because it's a professional studio. Like, I can watch a level and know that it's fine. So it didn't come out. It was scratchy. There was some issue with the mic, so they couldn't do the bit. So Tony had to come in. So they buried me on the air, which was fine. So Maz came in and did it live. Right. So then, like a few days after that, our production guy, Roger, comes in and says, hey, they have a commercial for you. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, producers get commercials here. Like, that's awesome. So he's like, oh, I'll have the script for you, you know, in the room. Okay, no problem. So I go in there and he hands me the script and I start reading it and I mispronounce a word. Right. And Roger doesn't stop me.
Right.
Okay. Got it. I know what's going on here. Got it. I'll have fun with it.
Right.
So that's why you hear me. It's the.
What did you mispronounce?
So it was the Rough House Leather Dojo.
Oh, okay.
And I said Rogue House Leather Dojo.
And so once he didn't correct you, you knew, okay, obviously this is fake.
So I'll have fun with it.
You didn't mean to do that, right?
No, the first one was a total mistake.
Okay.
Because I'm not dyslexic, but what I do is I anticipate words that aren't there.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. You're reading it and yeah.
right? So that's why, like, I have to, I got reconditioned as opposed to typing for reading. I type for speaking.
Right.
And I'm very simplistic in how I speak. I don't use a lot of big words unless they're wrongly used, or I'm just trying to impress somebody or something like that. I keep it very simple. So like when I'm reading somebody else's writing, like, or I'm reading books out loud, like I will anticipate words that aren't there because that's how I would phrase a sentence, or I see a word and it's raw. I think it's rogue, but it's rough because I'm, you know, and the fact that I have bad vision doesn't help either.
Yeah.
But that's, so I had fun with it and they produced it up and it was great. Cause I said to Zoe after I got out of there, I said, I think TNR are going to have some fun with me. And he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, I think it'll be fine.
You were so smart about it.
So it ran, right? And Felger and Maz called me and was like, are you okay? And I go, yeah, it's radio. Why wouldn't I be okay? And they're like, oh, we're just making sure. And I'm like, yeah, it's a radio bit. We're good. We're okay.
Yeah, it got over huge. It got you over.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, the Fred Cat voice. I don't have cats.
I know.
But the voice is hilarious. So, like, why am I going to interfere with that?
But it's funny. How long ago was the dojo bit?
Oh, so I started there March 23rd of 2011. So it would have been before May.
So think about it. We're almost at, you know, it's 9 years ago. And they're still playing that to this day, you know?
And it's funny. It's because it's funny.
Great. It's great. Yeah, I never knew, though, until recently that it was from that long ago. I thought it was more of like 4 years ago, maybe.
You know? No, it was, you know, it was awesome. Within a month of me being there. I think it was like 2 weeks.
It's a good rib. Like when they did it with Wallach, it's a great rib.
Oh, the magic one is great. But
dude, it's so funny. It's a dreidel, stupid.
But it's radio, and it doesn't come from a bad place. At least I have never interpreted my Sports Hub work as somebody like putting me in a bad spot.
No.
I've never thought that way.
No.
I mean, there's some past stuff from my past life that I felt that way about, but not the Sports Hub stuff. I feel like generally everybody's
coming from like a good place. Wild Wild West, you know, they're like WCW.
So, well, yeah. If I don't have that in my history, I'm not the Sports Hub. So, and there was a lot more good there than probably I perceive or project to people.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody wants the negative stories. And don't worry, those will be in my book, which no one will read.
I will have an autographed copy. That's it.
I'm going to send you a free one. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, Ilya, hopefully we'll be seeing you at a Chaotic Wrestling soon, or a Lucky Pro, or Top Rope Pro, or whoever wants to book you. You're a longtime veteran. You're part of the Chaotic Wrestling family, the New England Pro Wrestling Academy.
Atlantic Pro, that's one of the big ones too that I do a lot of shows with. They're good. They're North Shore, Newburyport. Believe it or not, John Cena's dad is actually a manager there.
I believe it. Get some Fabo bucks.
It's funny, Jace, dude. He sits in the crowd. He's a manager on the show, but he sits in the crowd and watches the show.
Of course he does, because he's a fan.
Yeah, I know. And I always taunt him with Cena taunts, and he gets so hot about it. It's so funny.
And then he comes
backstage. He's like, oh, that's awesome, kid. I love it. I'm like, oh, my God.
I mentioned your name to him. He has listened to me ramble about wrestling, and he has been so nice about it. And he's a good sport, and he enjoys, I get the feeling he really enjoys talking about pro wrestling. So I mentioned his name to you one night, and he's like, oh, I love that kid. Like, good kid, good man.
Yeah, he's a good
and that
dude.
Was before, and that was before I could actually pronounce Markopoulos.
Yeah, he's a good guy. It's funny. I've known him since I started, because he was, believe it or not, real quick, he was in Chaotic when I started. He was Ric Fuller and Fred Sampson's manager.
Ric Fuller, big Ric Fuller.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I remember when Goldberg got him up for the jackhammer. I'm like, oh, that's big Ric Fuller. Wasn't he like Roadblock or something like that? He came out with the whole
He was Ric Fuller, and it's funny. I went out to dinner with him last year with Biff, with Oni, and he told us, he's like, do you know I was making $350,000 a year until 2000. He was signed until they closed, and he's like, dude, I would go months without them calling me.
That's
he's like,
insane.
I didn't care, obviously.
$350 a year.
Yeah.
For Roadblock.
You can find his contract because he was signed.
Oh, that's right, because all that stuff is online.
And he was signed in the late 90s, so at that point, it turned into AOL. So, you know, that's why they went out of business.
Oh, that's insane. Ilya Markopoulos, you can find on Twitter, at Ilya Markopoulos. It's E-L-I-A-M-A-R-K-O-P-O-U-L-O-S. Ilya, thank you for doing the podcast. I appreciate it.
Jay Stu, thank you, buddy. I'll be listening tomorrow, 2 to 6, Felger Maz.
I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.